Krishna Book Canto 5, Parakiya Rasa, taken from chapters 45 and 46, Scene 1, the gopis approach Uddhava and accuse Krishna. In the morning, the gopis prepared for morning aratrik by lighting their lamps and sprinkling butter mixed with yogurt. After finishing their Mangala Aratrika, they engaged themselves in churning butter from yogurt. And while the gopis were thus engaged, the lamps reflected on their ornaments and became still more illuminated. The churning rod, their arms, earrings, bangles, breasts, everything moved, and the kumkum powder gave their faces a saffron luster comparable to the rising sun. While churning, they also sang the glories of Krishna. The two sound vibrations mixed together, ascending to the sky, sanctifying the whole atmosphere. After sunrise, the gopis came as usual to offer their respects to Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. But when they saw the golden chariot of Uddhava at the door, they began to inquire among themselves, "What is this chariot? To whom does it belong? Has Akura, who took away Krishna from us, again returned?" The gopis were not very pleased with Akura, because being engaged in the service of Kamsa, Akura took Krishna away to the city of Mathura. All the gopis conjectured that Akura might have come again to fulfill yet another cruel plan. "We are now dead bodies without our Supreme Master Krishna. So what further act can Akura perpetrate on these dead bodies of ours?" While they were talking in this way, Uddhava finished his morning ablutions, prayers, and chanting, and then came before the gopis. When the gopis saw Uddhava, they observed that his features almost exactly resembled the features of Krishna, and the gopis could understand that Uddhava was indeed a great devotee of Krishna. Uddhava's hands were very long, and his eyes were just like the petals of the lotus flower. Uddhava was dressed in yellow-colored garments and wore a garland of lotus flowers. Uddhava's face was very beautiful, having achieved the liberation of Sarupya, having the same bodily features as Lord Krishna. Indeed, Uddhava looked almost like Krishna. In Krishna's absence, the gopis had been coming dutifully to visit Mother Yashoda's house early in the morning. The gopis knew that Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda were always grief-stricken, and so the gopis had made it their first duty to come and pay their respects to these most exalted elderly personalities of Vrindavan. By seeing the friends of Krishna, Nanda and Yashoda would remember Krishna himself and thus be satisfied. And so the gopis would also be pleased upon seeing Nanda and Yashoda. When the gopis saw that Uddhava was representing Krishna, even in his bodily features, they thought that Uddhava must be a soul completely surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They thus began to contemplate, "Who is this boy who looks just like Krishna? He has the same eyes like lotus petals, the same raised nose and beautiful face, and he is smiling in the same way. In all respects, he is resembling Krishna, Syama Sundara, the beautiful dark boy. Why, he is even dressed exactly like Krishna. Where has this boy come from? Who is the fortunate girl who has him for her husband? Thus the gopis all talked among themselves. They were very anxious to know about Uddhava, and because they were simply unsophisticated village girls, the gopis surrounded him. But when the gopis understood that Uddhava had a message from Krishna, they then became very happy and called him to a secluded place to sit down. They wanted to talk with Uddhava very freely and did not want to be embarrassed before unknown persons. The gopis began to welcome Uddhava with polite words and in great submissiveness. "We know that you must be a most confidential associate of Krishna, and he has therefore sent you to Vrindavan to give solace to his father and mother. We can understand that family affection is very strong, for even great sages who have taken to the renounced order of life cannot give up family members. Krishna has therefore sent you to his father and mother. Otherwise, Krishna has no further business in Vrindavan. Krishna is now in the city of Mathura. So what does he have to know about Vrindavan village or the cow's pasturing grounds? These things are not at all useful for Krishna, because Krishna is now a man in the city. Surely, Krishna has nothing to do with persons who do not happen to be his family members. Why should one bother about those who are outside the family, especially and specifically those who are attached as the wives of others? Krishna is interested in them as long as there is a need of gratification, like the bumblebees who have interest in the flowers, as long as they want to take the honey out of them. It is very natural and psychological that a prostitute does not care for her paramour as soon as he loses his money. Similarly, when the citizens find that a government is incapable of giving them full protection, they leave the country. A student, after finishing his education, gives up his relationship with his teacher and the school. A rich man, after taking his reward from his worshiper, gives him up. When the fruit season is over, the birds are no longer interested in the tree. And just after eating in the house of a lord, the guest gives up his relationship with the host. After a forest fire, when there is a scarcity of green grass, the deer and other animals give up the forest. And so too, a man, after enjoying his girlfriend, gives up his connection with her. In this way, all the gopis began to indirectly accuse Krishna by citing so many similes.
Govinda Jaya Jaya. Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
All glories to Krishna Book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.